It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's f***ing.
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports 1140.
So, yeah, so if a shortstop bare hand fields a grounder to short and throws it to first, right? Okay. And it bounces off a fan's head and ricochets directly to the first baseman before the runner gets there. Is that out? Is that fan interference?
Fan interference.
I mean, I wonder what the call is. And while you're thinking about that, and before we talk about the Niners, and no, I'm not purposely trying to delay talking about the Niners, I would like to say again, NFL networks and advertisers, can we please bring back the You Make the Call segment during commercial breaks for those who are below 30? You used to, in every game, have an IBM You Make the Call. Mm-hmm. And they say, the Dolphins game against the Bills, Jalen Waddle went up and caught a pass, and a seagull pecked his eye out. He held on to the ball, but was it interference on the seagull?
You Make the Call.
You Make the Call. And then it'd be the IBM commercial.
Yeah.
And then it'd come out, yeah, rule number 3.2 states, if a seagull takes your eye out, it's 15 yards and a first down. And the seagull was ejected.
Remember when you tried to claim you were in your 30s earlier in the show? You know how I know that's not true without ever revealing your age? You just made an IBM reference.
Well, you'd make one every morning.
That's IBS.
Here's the thing, man.
Nothing is everything.
You got to bring back You Make the Call. It was so good.
And IBM, apparently.
Apparently. Did I just slap your camera away? I'm sorry.
Slapping the camera.
All right. The Niners played a football game.
Second and goal, 3-yard line. Charlie Warner moves in motion out right next to George Kittle. Quick throw. It is caught by Brandon Ayuk. Touchdown!
Hey.
San Francisco! Right off the line of scrimmage, Jimmy finds Brandon Ayuk.
Is that the second drive, right? Early on. Here we go.
Is this Greg and Tim's, third or fourth season together now? Fourth, I think, right?
I think so.
And it's still at the end of San Francisco. Tim still just doesn't know when it's time.
Tim, you've heard him make the call. Speaking of You Make the Call,
yeah.
You've heard him make it 50 freaking times, dude.
Second and goal, 3-yard line. Charlie Warner moves in motion out right next to George Kittle. Quick throw. It is caught by Brandon Ayuk. Touchdown, San Francisco. Right off the line of scrimmage, Jimmy finds.
He was done.
Anyways, that was.
So were the Niners.
That was 4 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
It sure looked great. Oh, And here's another thing. We're now in, I think, also year three of this, too. And I'd really like a ruling. And I think I know what the ruling is, but just in case. It's Brandon Ayuk, right?
Okay.
Because I keep hearing really respectable announcers, like, for instance, Mike Tirico last night. Mike Tirico calls him Ayuk. But then what's his face? Who was on color last night? Why am I spacing?
Collinsworth. Jay's guy.
And the same thing calls him Brandon Ayuk. But I keep hearing every week somebody calling him Ayuk to the point where now it's got me thinking, oh my God, this isn't one of those Kevin Harlan brain farts where he keeps calling him Stiakovic. Is it Ayuk or is it Ayuk? And I think it's
Ayuk.
Those
are really close. Say it again.
Okay, so Ayuk or Ayuk.
Gotcha.
You know, with the emphasis. I thought it was the emphasis on the Uke.
Not on the I?
Not on the I. The Uke, as in you can't win the ball game if your quarterback is stepping out of the end zone.
Here's Garoppolo stretch and a boot roll right. Back in the back of the end zone. He stepped over the end line. That's a safety. Jimmy threw it out. It got intercepted. Is it a touchdown or a safety?
It's going to be a safety.
Now it's a safety. It'll be a dead ball. He threw out to Jonas Griffith, who intercepted it. But when Jimmy steps over the end line, the play's dead.
Yeah, and Trent Williams is down on the field.
Yes.
Oh, man. Catastrophe.
Okay. That part gets a lot. I mean, everybody's going to talk about the safety's just inexcusable. But when Trent Williams went down, I went, oh, no.
Here's how bad this game was. I'm laughing. I'm laughing not because it's funny, but because it's, like, insane. All right. This is how bad this game was.
How bad was it?
Jimmy Garoppolo committed a safety by stepping out of bounds in the end zone. It was literally the third worst thing that happened on the play. I want to say that again. One play, your quarterback stepped out of the back of the end zone, causing a safety, and it wasn't the worst thing that happened on the play. It wasn't the second worst thing. It was the third worst thing. It negated a pick six, which would have been worse.
Yeah.
And the highest graded Madden NFL player in the league.
Your team's best player.
Your team's best player went down with an injury. So if you're ever playing a game and your quarterback, which never happens, brain farts his way out of the end zone for a safety, and that's the third worst thing that happens, it's not a good game. Jimmy Garoppolo sucked. As we kind of predicted last week when we talked about how Seattle had no time to scheme for Jimmy G, they were thrown into it against Trey Lance, so we really needed to see what Jimmy would look like with a full week for a defense to plan for him. Well, Jimmy looked like he made a lot of people wish for the backup Purdy.
Yeah. There's so many plays in the game that one's going to stand out and live forever. I mean, that one's going to live forever. A quarterback stepping out of the back of the end zone like Orlovsky did for the Lions years ago. Drag route across the middle of the field where you've got Ayuk open and Jimmy throws it at his shoes. Even the last play where, you know, as bad as the game was, I still had a sneaky feeling like I think they might get in field goal range and win this.
Yeah.
And the last play of the game, basically, that ended it for the Niners offense, Jimmy's in the end zone. He's trying to find someone downfield, and he just lobs one over the top to Wilson, who ends up fumbling from behind.
Yeah.
Like, that pass was short from me to you.
Yes.
He had a terrible day. And they know they can win with Jimmy. They've won with Jimmy. But it was another reminder yesterday of, oh, man, Jimmy can be frustrating. And some of the things why I think they had the idea of someone like Trey Lance that could do more things showed up yesterday. Now, again, they'll win a bunch of games with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I think because their defense held a team to 9 points. The Niners should have won week one. They should have won week three. They're not, and they're 1-2. Quarterback play hurt them in week one. Quarterback play hurt them in week three. It was two different guys. If they had like a bona fide, no doubt, this is a stud QB, they'd be a terrific team. They can win with either of those quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But they just win. Like I thought they were still going to win yesterday, even with the mess that he had made and others had made. But if they had a sexy, this is a stud, that team's awesome.
The Broncos tried.
Yeah.
They tried.
They weren't that good.
They tried to give it away. There was that deflected pass from Russell Wilson that just was too far deep in their own territory. There was the fumble. Again, this is late in the game that the Niners almost recovered. Listen, I know this did one thing, if nothing else, is can the Niners are better with Jimmy Garoppolo, and this was a blessing, what happened to Trey Lance. I think it kind of pantsed that whole crew. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a good quarterback. They win despite Jimmy Garoppolo. He is somebody that the team loves and follows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he is somebody that at his best can manage a game.
And they just needed him to be that yesterday.
That's all they needed.
And he wasn't that.
He wasn't. And you see there. Then listen, Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be as bad as he was.
Yeah, it was a bad version of him, but he was bad.
Yeah, to overreact to this would be the same as to overreact to in the Seattle game when they won. Like, he's not. He's not that he was that great in the Seattle game, but he's not.
He's better than that.
He's much better than he was yesterday. But there's so many people just frothing at the mouth willing to. I would say this. I think if Trey Lance had had last night's game and Jimmy Garoppolo had week one's game, I think the cacophony would be so much louder against Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Lance is almost held up to this different level, and we forget he's a kid. He's still making. I'm not here to say Trey Lance is going to be better than Jimmy Garoppolo, or we don't know.
Right.
But there is a ceiling for me. If it was okay, there's just no way you're getting past the NFC Championship with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's just not going to happen. You're not winning a title, or you could go for it with Trey Lance. You may not even make the NFC title game, but you will have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Could be Trey Lance.
Yeah, I see it. I get it. I think they could, but, I mean, that's a I think.
Right, of course.
And you'd have to have a 90%, you know, a version of Jimmy, which we've seen it. Like, sure. He's had good games. He's capable, but he doesn't do it consistently. And they're, even in the good games Jimmy's had, you go, that's a throw you have to make. And it's sometimes, and it's not the, like, for example, I thought there was a throw last night that I personally watched Jimmy Garoppolo through a different lens than maybe Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, like great quarterbacks, where the way Chris Collinsworth described it, he goes, what a throw by Jimmy G. And as it was thrown, it was the was a sideline route that was nearly a pick six. And I went, now, if that's Rodgers, I go, man, only he could make that throw because he threaded the needle. I thought it was a bad throw. Now, it worked.
Right.
It was a completion. I went, oh. And I just think because of his past inaccuracies, he's not the best quarterback. And so you just see that and you go, I don't think of that as a great throw. I think it worked. I think it just got through.
There were a few of those.
Yes. And some of them don't, where you go, how did that not work? How did you not see that? What did you see? It happens too often with him.
Here's a point that should be made. The Browns scored 29 points against the Steelers, okay? Mm-hmm. The Bears, 23. The Titans, 24. The Dolphins, 21. Here we go. The Vikings scored 28. Yesterday, the Ravens and Patriots, 37-26. Bengals had 27. I'm making a point here. Jags, 38. Falcons, 27. So that 27 points from the Falcons, for example, that's two more points than the Denver Broncos have given up in three games.
Mm.
Three games, not just the fluke against the Niners, but three games. Denver's got a good defense.
They do.
I don't want to crazy overreact. Now, to be fair, I take back. I think the Broncos have a decent to really good defense. Now, they so far have gone up against Geno Smith.
Mm.
I keep wanting to call him Davis Love III with
Davis Mills
and Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. So that's about – now they have Derek Carr in Oakland next week.
Yeah. They have two with Carr, two with Mahomes, two with Herbert still to come.
Right. That's a little bit different. We'll talk more about this later. It was just a crap loss. And now the Niners have lost to Chicago and Denver – in two games they very, very much should have won. Matt Barrows will join us at 8 o'clock, too. We'll break this down as well with him, including that and many other times today. We will, unfortunately, have Niner coverage. We'll take a break. When we come back, Albert Pujols, Monday Night Football, and Kings Media Day. Three for Madness is next.
You want Kings talk?
I'm a diehard Kings fan.
There's nowhere else you need to go but here.
Kings games, Kings interviews, Kings breaking news, Kings coverage. Nobody has it all but us. Sactown Sports, your local sports leader. Three questions, three answers. It's three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Question one.
I want to remind you, Kings Media Day is today, and that's going to be in Three for Madness. 1 to 4:30.
The entire Media Day?
All of the Media Day is actually in Three for Madness. Yeah.
Oh, that's why De'Aaron was running around looking for donuts and coffee. Got it.
That's right. Cattles and Rami will be broadcasting live at Golden One Center from 3 to 4:30. And we'll have all your exclusive content, interviews. Back and forth. We'll have that tomorrow on the program. In the meantime, today, we have Jay Mars, and we have question one. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great. You?
Super. Thanks for asking, Jason.
Superb, actually.
Awesome. I'm glad everyone's having a great morning.
I did the thing over the weekend where I went to sleep, and I woke up, and my back hurt.
Yeah, that's called...
I think I'm wrestling in my sleep.
Oh. So you're 39.
Who are you wrestling with?
My buddy Russell.
Oh.
Yeah. We're always going back and forth.
You're Russell Russell. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that sounds funny. It does. If you were Albert Pujols, which neither of you are, how tempted would you be to ask the Cardinals to run it back one more season?
I would not at all be tempted. No.
Yeah, same.
No, because he's not catching anyone.
Babe Ruth.
Well, how many does Babe have?
715. Right? Or 714.
Does he really care about catching Babe Ruth?
I was thinking more like Barry, but okay.
He's already hit and pitched like Babe, like...
Like, here's what I would say. He doesn't need the money, duh, of course. And he doesn't have anything else to prove. Is he going to be able to go out any better than he's going to go out this year? Like, you hit 700, you're probably going to finish... He's probably going to end up with 703 or 704. And he gets standing ovations everywhere he goes. From now on, for the rest of the year, and it's already been happening... Everywhere he goes, he's getting a standing O when he gets introduced. Like, take your farewell tour.
He is having an amazing second half. He could still play.
He can.
I mean, so now he has 21 homers. Batting, that's a little lower than normal, 264. But in this day and age, that's actually decent. Knocked in 60 runs as a part-time guy. He's having an awesome year.
I agree with you. And by the way, and let me be clear, I always, if the player decides to come back, I always side with the player. You have the rest of your life to not play.
Right.
I don't know that it would be a storybook, but.
But now that the Cardinals are in the NL, I mean, now that there's a DH in the NL, if the Cardinals brought him back, like.
Maybe he hits 60 next year and takes the whole thing.
See?
That would be huge.
I'll say this. It would, given the year, Jason, what you're laying out, it would make sense from a baseball standpoint if the Cardinals said, hey, man, do you want to come back and do the same thing? I do think that makes it, from a baseball standpoint, not the last hurrah, you know, signing him so he can end his career here. He's had a good year as a part-time guy.
And, you know, what he's doing down the stretch, too, and I don't know if this is just him being a veteran, him just not feeling any, he's doing what Aaron Judge isn't doing right now, and that's meeting the moment.
Wow.
Not wilting from the spotlight.
Wow.
He's rising to the occasion.
Wow.
All sit. Aaron
it's
Judge.
It's been four games, and he's now the Triple Crown leader, but that's
remember.
Okay.
I don't even remember left. I close my eyes. I can't remember what it looks like for Aaron Judge to hit a home run.
Yeah, it's really hard for him to see with all that champagne in his eyes from when they clinched the playoffs, but
I think I think he's reading his own press clippings.
Yeah.
I think he's holding himself in contempt.
He's clipping them out. And reading them.
Do you think he has his own scrapbook? Yes. Is Aaron Judge a scrapbooker? 916-339-1140.
Right, exactly.
Saw him at Hobby Lobby.
More like Aaron. I don't have anything. Number two.
Question two.
Who you got tonight?
Aaron Smudge.
Dallas Cowboys or the New York Football Giants? Because the baseball one's playing San Francisco.
Hey, why do I feel like this could maybe rival the Niner Bronco game?
I can I make a bold prediction?
Yeah.
It'll be better than the Niner Bronco game.
That's way too bold.
I will say, hey, what do you guys think? I am in a virtual tie in my fantasy football league, they have Saquon Barkley and I have Ezekiel Elliott.
They win.
I'm screwed, aren't I? Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to watch. Here's what they should call Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football, Cowboys versus Giants. Watch, because there's nothing else on. There's nothing else on. I'm going to watch it. And, of course, that probably means it'll be a good game.
So many storylines.
Yeah.
Same division.
The Cooper Rush.
Yes.
Is he Tom Brady? Is he Ginger Tom Brady?
Cooper Rush versus Daniel Jones is a super intriguing matchup.
Rush and Jones. Barkley versus Elliott. God, can I name another Giant? Jones, Barkley.
Posey.
Is Sterling Shepard still there?
I believe so.
Eli Manning.
Eli.
Kenny
Giant Emeritus.
Tiki Barber.
Was it Kenny Golladay on them? Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, you know what? I'm going to take the Giants only because I would like to. I think it'd be fun if they won. And the Cowboys are done.
Jason.
And put them at 3-0.
Yes. Wouldn't that be great?
Sure.
Because, come on, they've got that new coach that looks like, I don't know.
Brian Daboll.
Yeah, he gives me serious, like, Jim Tom Sula vibes. he really does.
I think he's won more career games than Tom Sula, though.
He's just like a football guy.
Yeah.
Just,
I got the Cowboys in this one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you hate the...
No, I'm a huge... I mean, I am a huge Jerry Jones fan.
Yeah. You love Jerry Jones.
A long-time fan of Jerry Jones.
I mean, The only reason
Uncle Jer.
It would be the only reason it would be fun if the Cowboys won is just to put Jerry Jones in a position where he actually really tries to convince everybody that there's a QB controversy. Because he's already been.
Well, I don't know. You know, Cooper's been rushing, and his name is Rush. And, you know, Dak, we paid him all that money, yet he can't stay on the field. I just don't know. You know, quarterback's best ability is availability. And maybe Cooper at the end of the day, if Dak can't play.
Who was that, though?
Jerry Jones?
Was that? Oh, that was Jerry?
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard on my radio show. I once did something to a mosquito.
It's good that Jerry's.
That you do to a newborn.
I have to have Jerry on the show today. Number
I love talking on the radio. I do it every week.
Number three.
Even in the offseason, I talk.
God, number three.
Question three.
What Media Day phrase will we hear the most today out of Sacramento Kings Media Day?
Oh, boy. There's a long history here. Not just the Kings. It's in every Media Day around the league.
Yeah, so you're going to hear the
15 pounds of muscle?
15 pounds of
best shape of their lives?
Worked on my game constantly.
Yeah.
Renewed focus.
Added a new wrinkle.
Unlock some things.
Unlock some things is really good.
That was Willie Cauley-Stein's.
Yeah. Took it easy.
Yeah.
Spent time with family. Happy to be back. High hopes.
Excited for the new year. Coaching changes.
Definitely focusing on defense.
And point of emphasis point will of be emphasis. The defense.
Yes. Culture. This team feels different. Yeah. Oh, my God. I think.
This team feels different.
That's the one. I think that might be the one today. I'm going to count and variations, like slight variations.
We're what's the other one? Jaeger, we're not going to let go of the rope. You know,
We're all bought in.
Our team chemistry is really, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff off the court than other years.
Right, right. There's a real bond.
Yeah.
Real camaraderie with these guys.
Real camaraderie. We think we have as good a chance as anyone.
Communications completely improved.
One game at a time.
Love our roster depth.
Watched a lot of tape.
Nobody's actually.
That one's gone.
Yeah, that actually, you get fined now if you say that. That's actually not allowed. We're not going to try to shove square pegs down a triangle throat here. That's the saying.
Yeah.
Media Day is silly and weird, and it's a lot of recycled clips of same old cliches. And you're going to hear it, and we're going to have fun with it. But it's the start of Kings basketball, and that is exciting. It's a kickoff to preseason and training camp, and that's exciting. And a week from today, it's our first preseason game against the Lakers, and that's exciting. So we'll have fun with it. We're not going to try to make something into it that it's not. But I'm excited. I'm excited to go. I'm excited to see the players. I'm excited to. There will be one or two good clips.
Oh, for sure.
There will be stuff for us to talk. We will talk Kings basketball tomorrow.
That's nice to do.
In a legit way instead of like, hey, the draft. And, oh, we got to come up with some Keegan Murray ones too, by the way. They're definitely like just here to help the ball club.
Or he's like a 10-year vet.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. Ex player is just a professional.
Yeah.
Brings our lunch pail.
Yeah. But I think Keegan's going to get that. He's like a 10-year veteran.
You're 100% correct. We'll take a break when we come back. The theme with the Niners has simply been quarterback, 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 quarterback. Here we are again. But is there a defense for Jimmy Garoppolo? I'm not talking about the Broncos. I mean, can we defend Jimmy Garoppolo? We'll figure that out next.
Tune in to Cattles and Rami Monday afternoon from 3 to 4:30, live from the Sacramento Kings Media Day.
Hear from the coaches and players from this year's team live from the Golden One Center.
Plus, tune in to the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross the following morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. for exclusive content from your local sports leader, Sactown Sports. You know they've been here for a combined 50 years. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports 1140.
I thought he played real well in the first half. I mean, I thought he was made some plays, hit the ones that were there, and then made some that weren't there. In the second half, I don't think anyone on offense did good, including myself. I mean, we didn't really get into rhythm the whole time, and our defense did a hell of a job keeping us in there, but We weren't able to get it going.
First off, it's I don't think anybody in the second half did well.
Come on, coach.
Come on, coach. People look up to you. It's not did good.
You went to break teasing that could you defend Jimmy G?
I mean, the Broncos did, but yeah, that's the obvious joke.
You have?
I would say
How?
If I was mounting a defense for Jimmy Garoppolo, I would, and not necessarily in this order, but point of order, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that, number one, the Broncos had an entire week to scheme for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
And they have so far at least, you can only play your schedule. They've given up a grand total of 25 points. This is a good defense. At least it has been this year. So let's just get that out of the way. They weren't playing some crap defense.
Okay.
Number two, you're also playing at Mile High. You're only a third game into the year. Conditioning is going to be a factor, and that showed up especially defensively in the fourth quarter. But I think the biggest defense for Jimmy Garoppolo is that he didn't have a training camp. Jimmy Garoppolo, and nobody wants to hear this, but Jimmy Garoppolo was literally on a practice field away from everybody without a playbook.
Right.
And I understand that a lot of those plays are going to be familiar, but not all of them, and there's always new twists. He's had no time with the first team. He was thrust in game two very unceremoniously. This was not how anything was supposed to go. He hasn't had time to prep that much. He's been cramming everything. He, like I said, has been away from the team, was supposed to be on a different team, and then you're putting him in against, you know, Seattle. And again, they didn't have time to scheme for him. It was all about Trey Lance and during the week. Then you put him in Denver where they do have time to scheme, and he looked like a quarterback that had been on a separate field from everybody else the entire preseason. That's the best I can do. That's the best defense I can put up there.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, at least, I mean, Jimmy G has all the reps. He knows the game.
Yes.
He's been in the fire. He's seen all the blitzes. Yeah, maybe he wasn't in as typical rhythm as he would have liked.
Sure.
But I don't know. I'm going to look at the standings here. Let me pick a quarterback that might be somewhat. Kirk Cousins? I don't know.
I mean, Cousins is miles ahead of Jimmy.
Okay,
I mean,
maybe I'm too. But I didn't pick Favre. I mean, Favre. Wow, I didn't pick Rodgers. I didn't pick, you know, Brady, whatever, just elite. But I felt like if Cousins was in that spot and hadn't been in Minnesota's camp, and then whoever they were thinking was going to be the quarterback ahead of him played and then got hurt, and then he had a week, and then the Cousins has to go, like, I think you'd see better results. And Jimmy, it wasn't just, I mean, it's the totality of the game. It's the stepping out of the bounds. It's the not having full belief that he could lead them late to a and I just think he needed to be marginal. He was bad.
Sure.
Like, if he was the dreaded term we say so much, game manager, if he was that, I think they win the game. The defense was great.
I think he was terrible.
He was really, really bad.
I kind of missed one thing. Jimmy Garoppolo has been with the Niners. This is his sixth season. Okay. In his previous five seasons, he has played 6, 3, 16, 6, and 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
Every year that Jimmy Garoppolo has played 15 games or more, they've gone to the NFC Championship or Super Bowl. Every year.
Yeah.
And I understand there are those out there that would say, well, they've gone despite Jimmy, or Jimmy has ridden on the backs of the defense and Shanahan's play calling. And I'm not indifferent to that. We've seen the Trent Dilfers of the world win Super Bowl championships, and Dan Marino hasn't. I get the argument. I think that works once. I don't think you go to the NFC Championship game twice in 3 years.
Yeah.
The only 2 years you've played 15 or more. The other years he was hurt almost the entire season. So doesn't he deserve, and this is kind of the theme of today, and this is tough for me to say because I think he sucked and I'm pissed about Trey Lance. But as Niner fans, first off, it's not like Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't want to win, but that couldn't be less important, number one. Number two, when he's the quarterback, the most important position in all of sports, two of the last three years, and they go to a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship game, and then he is unceremoniously tossed aside for the new kid in town who's proven nothing, and he is classy, great, awesome, players love him. And then he's thrown back in half a quarter into week two. doesn't he deserve some slack? Doesn't he deserve the chance to acclimate himself? And by the way, doesn't he deserve, forget the personal aspect, doesn't his track record of wins
yes.
deserve fans to cut him just a bit of slack?
I don't know. I don't know that the fans will do that, but what's the choice, right?
There
I mean, that's
none.
When people are like, I saw this narrative last night because I was in the camp that I think it was not a blessing in disguise. That's not the right term because you
I
never want
that.
Trey Lance hurt. But I said, by keeping Jimmy, I think it kept the team relevant. Now, this is I'm taking shots at Brock Purdy with never seeing him play in this with this team. But I think it would be not necessarily a lot worse last night, but over the long haul. Jimmy G has proven that they'll win games. And I think they'll win games with him. You're going to get performances like last night.
Yep.
You're
going
to get series or quarters like last night with Jimmy, even if he's in a better groove.
Yes.
But I look at the landscape of the NFC. I still look at the Niners. If that defense plays like that, who is better than the four? There are better elements. Yeah, I'd
sure.
rather have Stafford. I'd rather have Rodgers. I'd rather have a lot of other quarterbacks. But the totality of what the team can be if Jimmy is the game manager.
Yeah.
They're going to win a lot of games. He was terrible last night.
He was.
There's no denying that. And he may be bad this week. He may be better. But I also think fans do this. The team won't. If Jimmy is great mm-hmm. on Monday night and they beat the Rams, who they've had really good success against, and he's played well against.
Yeah.
He's not an elite quarterback. He just played better. I mean, I don't know that it's anything more than that. I'd put him in the 32 quarterbacks. He's
sure.
middle to back end of the league.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a special defense. And if he plays well, the other elements are good, they'll win games.
I would offer to your point one last defense of him. And it might be the best defense I can offer. Remember when Trey Lance got hurt and who was it? Somebody reported that an unnamed player, a couple unnamed players, had said, we're a better team now than that. And you can say that, but I can't.
Right.
So here's the thing. Jimmy's going into a sixth season. As we've documented many times, the locker room would walk through fire for the guy. He has universal support from that locker room.
Which is big.
Which is
at
huge.
At least it appears to be.
It appears to be. Or at the very least, we don't. Let me ask you something, Jason. And let me say first, I don't remember. So I'm putting you on the spot. But I don't. Can you name for me an anonymous quote coming out of that locker room questioning Jimmy G's abilities at quarterback or leadership?
Not that I remember.
Like, even questioning his skill. I can't either, ever.
Yeah.
These are the guys that are in the locker room. They're on the field. They know the playbook. And, oh, by the way, their paycheck, in part, bonuses at least, rely on them being successful. And they are beyond behind Jimmy Garoppolo. You, me, fans, all of that, we're all talking from the outside. But doesn't that say more than anything that maybe they know a little more than we do?
Well, yeah, and fans, for sure.
Yeah.
They do. And then, you know, the other part that'll benefit them, like anything, is, you know, Kittle came back but wasn't a huge factor. Getting Elijah Mitch, all these things. But if they stay injured and all
right.
these things, it could derail a season as it did a couple years ago. The better they run, the more they count on their defense, it's going to help Trey Lance or Jimmy G.
Yep.
I believe they, as a core for an organization, they think they can get to higher levels of quarterback play with Trey Lance. Maybe not necessarily higher level as winning.
Yeah.
But I'll say it. If they had a better quarterback, they'd be fantastic. They don't have a better quarterback. They're good. It's a good football team
sure.
that has given away two games. You keep giving away games, you're not a good football team.
Well, and to your point, this is where I really – it's so hard to grade John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, and I combine them as that front office because Shanahan has a huge say. I really, really, it would help me grade them overall because their signature move is this Trey Lance
mm-hmm.
draft. But what I need to know is how far away were they from being able to acquire Aaron Rodgers? Like, take the Trey Lance package. Was that offered up for Aaron Rodgers? I mean, for sure was it offered up. Did the Packers turn that down? Did the Packers counter? Was it just one more first-round draft pick? Could they have grabbed themselves Tom Brady? Sure sounds like it. For me, they've cost themselves at least one Super Bowl ring, if not two or three, by not grabbing a guy like, not drafting the future, not holding on to the Honda Accord of NFL quarterbacks. But if they grab a Rodgers or Brady and just give up a ton of draft capital, which they wouldn't have had to do for Brady, they've got at least one ring, almost certainly at least one ring over the last couple of years, and possibly two, and could That, to me, was the move for them to make, and I think they got a little bit cute. And maybe Trey Lance is the quarterback of the future. But let's confront a real truth, by the way. Even if Trey Lance is the quarterback of the future, they've now lost another year of his rookie cap now.
Yeah. And we don't have that question answered.
You
we don't know
have that,
that
question
is.
Answered. Eric Armstead's not 22 years old. Fred Warner's not 22 years old. George Kittle's not 20. Like, they're going to start hitting some, not only some old issues, but they're also going to start hitting some cap and salary and contract issues. And have to, they, and hindsight's great and all, I get it. But this was a team that was built to win championships, but you can't do that with a full leg kicked out from under you. When we get back, obviously we're going to take a look at other big NFL storylines. And I was almost, you know, who would have thought that the day would have ended with such a crap fest? Because going into the afternoon games, Jason, I was almost completely out of energy.
Yeah, week three was on fire, and then it fizzled.
On fire! Yeah. And then I was just absolutely drained. And you don't want to be in that position ever. You want all the energy you can get, which is why I go to my good friends at American Energy Air. Now, whether it's football or whether it's a heating and air conditioning system. As a matter of fact, I wish... Here's the thing. I love that American Energy is local. I do. It's one of my favorite things about them. But I wish they were down in Southern California. My wife is going down to my mother-in-law's this weekend, and one of the things they're doing is taking quotes for a new HVAC system for my mother-in-law's house. Guarantee you, comparing it to American Energy, it's not even going to be close. It's not even going to be close to as good a deal as you could get right here. Now, winter's coming up. I know that seems impossible because it's been, you know, 100 degrees forever. But, yeah, October is next week. And here we go. Take advantage before the month ends at the $2,500 off offer from American Energy. Replace that HVAC system. 0% financing, payment plan options available. There's no reason to keep putting off making your home a place of comfort for you and your family. The offer expires at the end of the month. Don't wait. Call today, 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990. Or visit AmericanEnergyAir.com. If you're looking to replace that HVAC system, now is the time. Get a free quote. A free quote. Well, don't get screwed from those other bigger companies. Don't do it. 916-520-9990, A-plus with the Better Business Bureau, serving the greater Sacramento area since 1981. You tell them Carmichael Dave sent you. When we get back, what a game between the Dolphins and Bills and the only other team that's undefeated. Gosh, I'm surprised. We'll do that next.
Sactown Sports 1140 is broadcasting live on YouTube.
To me, it's a must-watch.
Check out the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross and the Cattles and Rami Show.
Plus, get exclusive content.
Search Sactown Sports 1140 on YouTube. Stimulating conversation about kitchen gadgets and baseball cards.
I think that's really crazy interesting.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports 1140.
And goal, back to throw, Allen.
Look, and it.
Incomplete. Short-armed it.
Dolphins.
Isaiah McKenzie.
He hasn't one-hopped a lot, but he did, and the Dolphins get another stop in the red zone, and they're going to win this game against the Buffalo Bills.
That game gave me heart palpitations. What a great and weird game.
How about that punt?
Oh, the butt punt?
Yes.
The butt punt was fan-freaking-tastic.
This is risky. And it was blocked.
Oh,
my
hear it.
Goodness. Blocked indeed. And we just told you he's only had one blocked in 14 years, and that was number two. And look at where it comes in the game. Let's see if we can get a... Oh, it hit the personal protector, Sherfield. Hit his behind.
Well, I just got through saying instead of 15 yards, it's a 10 yard. So
exactly.
Everybody's got to adjust to the fact it's in a confined space.
It was not blocked at all. It gives a whole new meaning to kicking you know what.
It's a butt punt.
It's a bunt.
Yeah, a bunt. You have the butt fumble, and now you have the bunt. And thank God, I kept thinking of this too. Was I the only one that was like, thank God it went off his butt. Because that was not that far away from going off of something else. And can you imagine, you're just the guy snapping, and all of a sudden, two balls, one strike is the count. Not a fan. I'd never seen anything like that. And, and by the way, when that happened, I was 1,000,000,000% convinced Buffalo was winning this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course you were.
Well, that game gave you heart palpitations because all the people of the heat, the people that were cramping. And then the Tua play, that's fishy. Dolphins, fishy.
This play you're talking about?
Back to throw Tua. Blitz coming. Gets away from it. Throws it downfield. It's caught.
Got a flag down. It's in the backfield, too.
And Tua getting up slow there. Yeah.
Personal foul. Roughing the passer. Uh-oh. Defense number 58.
Tua is struggling.
15-yard penalty. First down.
Yeah, he got hit. Jimmy, he doesn't know where he is.
No,
he got
up,
staggered around.
He tried to get back to the huddle, but staggered and fell twice.
He shoved him late, and he went back and fell on his head. So Milano hits him.
Yeah.
After he throws it, he shoves him. I mean, he went to get up a couple of times and staggered around.
Yeah,
some
it looked
help.
Like he hit the back of his head on the turf, Joe.
Yeah.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah, and now the NFL Players Association has told the NFL it wants to initiate there's going to be an investigation on what happened. It, as you said, it looked terrible. Here's the thing. There's a six-step process that tests the player for any, quote, no-go signs. A video review of the play, a review of concussion signs and symptoms, and an inquiry regarding the history of the event. That's it. Now, he was back on the field after halftime, and he finished the game. He said that Tua did, that, quote, he hyperextended his back on that sneak. His back locked up on him after the hit from Milano, causing him to stumble. He said, I was sore when it happened. Any competitor that would have never wanted to come out would have done the same thing. So I was just trying my hardest to get back up and get to the next play and run it. There's going to be an investigation. I have a strange feeling the investigation's going to, that, listen, if it was a back issue that did that, well, then, okay, fine, game over.
Did it look like that to you?
No.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Right.
But, man, those doctors are, they got some splaining to do.
Yes.
And if it's not that, then bye-bye. It's that simple. And the Dolphins are going to get a heavy, heavy fine. You have to protect your players. That being said, well, it's not even that being said. I'm sorry. It's always the juxtaposition to me of why do we care so much about the possibility of a quarterback, for example, being concussed, and then the night before on pay-per-view watch boxing matches where the entire point is for them to concuss each other repeatedly until they can't stand. And if they can't stand, but they somehow make it back up before a guy counts to 10 and they keep fighting, then it's one of the most thrilling things we've ever seen. And boy, right. Do they have a lot of heart. I sometimes really have an internal argument going on in my head about that.
Yeah.
Why do we care about one and not the
other? I
got
you. Yeah.
That was a wonderful game. And you know what? Good for former 49er Mike McDaniel. Good for the Dolphins themselves. Here's what Mike had to say.
You know, I'm just really, really happy for the team because this much I do know. Teams win football games. And if you're going to have success over the long haul, you have to have confidence that, you know, whoever, whatever phase can win a football game for you can go ahead and do that.
Okay.
He's got something good going.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to see Miami have off to a good start like this.
Are you, like me, overwhelmed with the thought that we just don't know anything right now after 3 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I asked you, like, record-wise, we see the Dolphins and the Eagles at 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay, as of now, you go, oh, that's, like, we'd rank them 1-2 in the NFL, or those are the teams on the way to the Super Bowl. I don't think they will be, but they're 3-0 right now. Like, who's good? Well, who is good in the NFL? It's a lot of parity.
Going into this weekend, the Bills were unstoppable.
Yeah.
And by the way,
I still think they're a really good team, though.
I do, too.
And they may be the best team, but they did lose.
The Chargers and Chiefs had it out great game between the two of them. The Chargers going almost beat Kansas City at Arrowhead. They lose by three. Then they turn around and they host the Jaguars at home. Jags boat raced them.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Herbert wasn't 100%. His ribs were
hurting. Yeah, but that was a blowout.
38-10? And they lost Bosa early. He was banged up, too. I mean, I get it, but I don't expect that. And are the Jags are 2-1.
Yeah.
They're in first place in the AFC South. And the funny thing is, the only thing holding them, they beat the Colts. Shut them out. They've beaten the Colts and the Chargers, two teams that were thought to be playoff teams going into this season, right?
Yeah.
They beat them, Jason, by a combined 62-10 over the last 2 weeks, but they lost week one to the Washington Commanders. How does that make sense?
Right.
Especially when the Commanders did this yesterday.
Hurts looking. Hurts firing. Devontae Smith, touchdown. He caught it in the corner of the end zone. Again, he went skyward.
The Swim Reaper.
That was Kevin Durant. Anyways.
3-0 for the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, so the Eagles destroy Washington, which is fine. And there's your other 3-0 team. Mm-hmm. And like you said, is there any part of you that thinks it's going to be Miami, Philly?
I would say no.
No. In fact, I will give you a choice. It's our old briefcase of 100 grand bet. You have a choice. One of those two teams just makes the Super Bowl or the field.
The field.
Okay.
Yeah. Easy.
One of those two teams makes a conference championship game or the field.
Probably the field. I mean, just at better odds, right?
That's where I'm leaning.
Yeah.
But those are our two 3-0 teams.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do I think that, well, I do think probably both will make the playoffs. But then I look at a team like the Raiders. The Oakland Raiders are 0-3. Their
right.
fans are freaking out, and understandably so. This is supposed to be a much improved team with the offense. It's crazy. And I think a lot of people are asking a lot of legit questions about Josh McDaniels, who, mm-hmm. let's just be honest, so far in Josh McDaniels' career as a head coach, he has sucked.
Yeah. Like, track record suggests that.
Yes. In I mean, granted, it's three games in. But
even before that.
Yeah. He is now a grand total of 11-20 as a head coach. He was 8-8 and 3-9 with Denver, and now he's 0-3. He was 11-17 with Denver. And so far has shown absolutely zero ability to do anything outside of Bill Belichick's shadow. And let's be honest, 8 of his 11 wins came in his first year with Denver coaching, for the most part, somebody else's team.
Right.
Are you ready to write off the Raiders?
No, I think we're all get caught up in the beginning part of the season, but you know, could the Eagles later in the year have a 3-game losing streak?
Right.
Well, because it didn't happen in the beginning, or the Dolphins, or the Raiders win 3 in a row later. Sure, all those things are very possible. It feels like we used to say an 8-8 league with a few teams that sneak up with a few more wins, a few that, I don't know what now is 17 games more, 9-8, 8-9, but that's about where a lot of the league will end up. It's just there'll be a few outliers that stretch it out and get to 10, 11, 12, 13 wins, and who will be those teams? Still to be determined.
Dolphins, 3-0. Philly, 3-0. I did not see the Colts stunning the Chiefs. Didn't right. see that happening. And then Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I remember going into that going, hold on a second. How is it that you knew, and I'm sure there's a reason, but how is it, NFL, that you knew going into the season that it was going to be Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and you willingly chose Russell Wilson versus Trey Lance? It's who they thought they were for Sunday Night Football? How is that game not on Sunday night? How is Brady Rodgers not on Sunday Night Football and the Broncos and Niners were? That's written, and then you know what? That game sucked too. The Packers Bucks game until the end pretty much was boring.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the NFL, I don't get it. Matt Barrows might. He gets paid to do this.
Yes.
Stuff. He thank God he got paid yesterday to watch that game. He'll help us break it down next.
Kings insiders Frankie Cardoselli and Chris Watkins give you all things Kings on the return of the Roar podcast.
You know, with these two sitting next to me now, certainly feel comforted.
You can sign up for free at
SacktownSports.com.